And I will remind it in my mind only like for the rest of my life. Welcome back to the Jenny McCarthy Show. I'm Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg. Don't forget tomorrow, Debbie Mazar, everybody. Love her. But in studio, I want to get right to it because I couldn't wait for them to come in. I watched their journey, a few videos last night, and was so incredibly moved. Martin Truex Jr. and Sherry Pollux.
What's up?
How are you guys? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What a remarkable story.
I know you were playing the perfect song there.
I know,
it's like
right?
My favorite song.
Is it your favorite song? You are gorgeous.
Thank you. So are you.
No, I had 2 hours sleep, so I'm hiding behind sunglasses. But you scored, my friend, in many ways than one.
I way outpunted my coverage.
She's cute.
Oh, I don't know. You're like his girl crush. So you're making me look bad. I don't want to sit by you.
I have, you know, David, my producer, is a huge NASCAR fan.
Yeah, we talked already. He's awesome.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, did he geek out on you?
No, man. He's awesome. Good guy.
Brother. It says number 78. Am I saying this right? Furniture, Row, Toyota, Camry? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Let's talk about this because it's been a rough 2 years for you guys. It's been 2 years?
Yeah. I just had my 2 year cancerversary last month.
Wow. And you know, the crazy thing is like I was watching you guys be part of charities. You put your heart and soul into like pediatric cancer. Mm-hmm. And then I saw an interview where you're like, we're just thankful we have our health. And that was 2 months prior to your diagnosis with ovarian cancer. What were your symptoms that led you to wonder what was wrong?
So that interview that you saw was actually at our Catwalk for a Cause, our fashion show we do for kids with pediatric cancer. And I wasn't feeling well that night that we had the show. I had severe abdominal pain. I was bloated. I knew something was wrong, but I wasn't sure what. I'd been going to the doctor for a couple months, and they kept telling me I just had normal ovarian cysts. And I was 35 and perfectly healthy. So, all my girlfriends have had ovarian cysts too.
Me too.
I didn't think
they tell me all the time I have ovarian cysts.
So nobody thinks anything of it. And we kept traveling. We were getting ready to go to the Bahamas for vacation. And I looked at Martin and I was like, I can't even stand up. I'm in so much pain. And he said, you need to call this doctor that's a friend of ours. And we called him and told him. And he said, has anyone done a scan of your body? And I said, no. And he said, you need to come to my office tomorrow to get a scan. And I did, and they called us 30 minutes later and told us to come back with our family members. And I thought, ooh, that's not good.
I mean, what kind of a ride to the hospital or a clinic is that?
It's a shock. Well, the ride wasn't bad. It's after you got the news and you had to ride home. And then you're like, okay, now what the hell do we do? It's such a shock. I mean, you're like, your whole world just stops, and you're like, nothing else matters. What are we going to do?
And were you aware, Martin, that ovarian was a really hard disease to cure?
We didn't know anything about it. I mean, she didn't either. Neither of us. When they told her, we're like, what is that? You know, what do we do?
Yeah, like cut it out. Whatever.
Yeah.
What's the options? So it was like, I mean, it happened so fast. She found out 4 days later she's in surgery. You know what I mean? So it was like...
Yeah, crazy surgery.
Crazy just how fast everything happened and, you know, how quickly your world can change.
Yeah.
And watching the footage of your family and friends around you and fighting, how they say you're such a fighter and haven't stopped since.
Yeah, I'm a little tougher on the edges.
Which is great. And do you feel, what is it like to get that diagnosis and how do you find the fight to fight?
Well, you know, like Martin said, when we were in that office, I looked at the doctor and I didn't even cry. You know, my mom and Martin were in there and they were both crying, and I just sat there and just said, you know, what do I have to do to fight this? Because, I mean, I was 35 and perfectly healthy. I'd never even been in a hospital before. I didn't even know I had no idea how deadly ovarian cancer is. And mine was stage 3C, so it was already spread outside of the pelvic area. So my scar runs
terrifying.
From here all the way up to my rib cage. And, you know, and I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, you're shocked, but you don't even have a moment to feel sorry for yourself because you just go into immediate survival mode. Like, how am I going to survive this? Because my life is so good and I feel so blessed to be here, and I'll do anything to survive.
Was there any family history
None.
Of it?
None. I did all the genetic testing. There's no family history. There's nothing.
Were you on birth control? Do you know what I'm asking?
22 years. Yeah. I did everything right. That's the thing. If you look at the statistics of my disease and you look at just the general population of healthy women, right? And the normal symptoms that you go through in your life that, you know, everything that I had is like stuff that women experience every month, you know, when they go through their normal cycle, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's so many more women, mm-hmm. younger women being diagnosed with ovarian cancer. It's freaking me out.
I know. It's scary, isn't it?
I had an assistant and when I was brought in Los Angeles working, mm-hmm. and she just started working for me, and she was the best assistant I ever had. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I'm sorry, I have to quit." And I said, "What are you talking about? I'll give you double the pay. I love you." And she said, "I was just diagnosed with ovarian cancer." Mm-hmm. I said, "You're 22 years old."
Yeah, it's everywhere.
She wound up passing away within 6 months.
I hear that all the time, and it's super scary for me when people come up to me and they're like, "Hey, you know, I'm so sorry that you have ovarian cancer. You know, my mom just or my sister just passed away from that." And I know they're just trying to find a connection with me, but mentally it's not good for me because that's all I think about then. I think about, you know, how precious my life is every day.
Right. And are you in recovery?
I am. I just finished chemo like 5 months ago. I did 18 months of chemotherapy straight.
Wow.
I used to have hair like yours.
But now you look cool and sexy, and I look like a stripper.
No, you don't.
No, you look trendy. And I heard I saw a video where you're like, "I even take baths with my wigs on."
I did.
I would not.
Did. Seriously. My wigs look just like your hair right now. So I had hair wigs. You know, we were like so fortunate that we could afford to buy, you know, human hair wigs. So I, for all intents and purposes, when I was going through treatment, I looked pretty normal. I mean, I was super skinny. I was like 30 pounds skinnier than I am now. But I did. Martin would come in the bathroom and I'd be sitting in there with my wig on. He's like, "What are you doing? Take your wig off." And
you know,
I'm like,
women got to have the hair right.
Even in the bathtubs, the hair
has got to be right.
Honestly,
in delivery.
It made me feel normal. Like I needed that normalcy in my life so bad because everything else was spinning out of my control, and I could not stand it. I couldn't stand the thought of.
And Martin, how hard is it for you? Because I know my husband Donnie is my soulmate, and I've gone through some shit myself, and he's been such a rock for me. But I also know that when you lean on a rock, and that rock also needs an outlet, you know, to release a lot of that energy that you picked up on. What was yours?
I think racing was mine. You know, at that point in time, you know, my racing career was awful. Like it was going really bad. And then this was even worse. So when I went back to work, it was like, okay, this really isn't that bad. And it really focused me on the things that mattered and the things that I needed to work on, you know, as a driver and to be better. And that was really my outlet. I mean, just getting in the race car, and you know, it's real easy when you put your helmet on and you go to the racetrack that, you know, you flip a switch and you become a different person. You know, when you're in the car, you focus on that only, and everything in the outside world you just forget about it. So that was kind of my escape for it, I guess, and a way to get that frustration out.
And it sounds like a perfect way to do it, and a healthier way, so to speak, as long as you don't crash. I guess it's healthier.
Yeah, you try not to hit stuff, too.
But
you know?
I want to say congratulations. I guess a big win last weekend in Chicago.
Yeah, thanks.
A lot of people are feeling that this is your big year.
I hope so. I mean, it feels like it to me. It's been a really good year, so hopefully we'll continue to do that, but it's been a lot of fun.
How do you not punch people, you know, that you cut off in traffic?
I don't drive in New York City, okay? I get in the back seat and I just look at my phone because I get
really
very
smart.
Angry. Yeah. I cannot drive. We get in traffic and I'm driving and she's like, "Oh my God, did you just stop? It's not going to change." I'm like, it pisses me off so bad.
He's the worst person.
I just want
to
hit people and knock them out of the way and be like, "You don't know how to drive. What are you doing? You shouldn't even have a license." All the time.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Martin Truex Jr. and Sherry Pollux, we're talking to them about Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Do you guys have an actual foundation that people can go to?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. So that's the whole ironic thing. You know, Martin and I started a foundation in 2007 for pediatric cancer. So
right.
We've been advocates for this disease for you know, a long time. And then I got diagnosed and we were like, ooh, that hit pretty close to home.
Right.
So it's kind of ironic. And what's even more ironic is Pediatric and Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month are both in the month of September. So now I'm advocating for not only our kids that we visit all the time that are fighting, but for myself and women like me that are fighting. So we have a foundation, the Martin Truex Jr. Foundation. We started in 2007. They can go to our website, martintruexjrfoundation.org, and they can text STRONG to 50155. We're doing a text to give campaign this month, which has been amazing for us to just, you know, you can text $1 or $78, like his card number.
Oh, that's nice.
Do anything. It's just so easy, and it's an easy way for people to donate and for us to give back to our community and help help women and children that are fighting this terrible disease.
How come we are not at that place of early detection?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it sad?
Yes.
People ask me I speak all over the country about my disease, and people ask me all the time, how do I not get that? How do I end up not being like you? And the sad thing is I can't even look at them and tell them that there's any way to do that.
No.
Because we have no early detection for this disease, which is horrific. And I don't know that we'll see it in my lifetime, but my hope with our foundation is that we can help facilitate that through some major cancer centers that are doing some research on it. But
I'm just amazed by medicine sometimes. Like, thank God for the breakthroughs, but when you can fix a flaccid penis,
yeah,
but you can't fix, yeah, a test that can diagnose early detection, yeah, you know what I mean?
So true. I know.
It drives me crazy. How has the response been from people across the country?
Oh my, I mean, it's been incredible. I feel like there's been so many good things that have happened to us since I've gotten diagnosed. I mean, it sucks that I have cancer. It really sucks.
Had
cancer. Yeah, I'm in remission now. But you know, the humanity is, for us, has been amazing. Not only just the way the NASCAR community has embraced us. They ran teal decals on their cars with my name on them, and we've turned his car teal. And we just, I mean,
I
the fans,
that.
It's been amazing. Like, people on Twitter are just, they're like not mean to me anymore, because I think they feel sorry for me because I have cancer.
Yeah,
that's one way to get people to be nice.
To be mean.
So for this month, we made steering wheels in the race car,
yeah,
gold with gold and teal spokes, and our foundation's logo on them. And I think 13 or 14,
yeah,
maybe 15 other drivers raced with them in their car. We did as well. We're auctioning off all those wheels on the NASCAR Foundation website at the end of this month to raise money for our foundation too. So, I mean, even the other driver, even competitors, guys that we race with every weekend that, you know, you want to beat, and they want to beat, whether they like you or they don't, the community has really stepped up to try to help us, and
it's
meant a lot.
Help feeling that support. That's
it's
so
incredible.
Cool. It makes you feel like you're not alone. And the fact that you're doing something about it and paying it forward is the reason, I think, too, why God is helping you through this.
I'm trying. Yeah. I wake up every day, think I'm so blessed to be here. You know, now how can I fight for these other women that can't get out of their bed or out of the hospital to do what I'm doing? You know, most women that get my disease are old, and they don't, like you said, they don't survive very long.
No.
They don't live long enough to fight. So there's nobody fighting for people like me. There's
right.
no one fighting for women like me. But I meet more and more young women that are getting it. So I have to be that woman until, you know, I don't know what I'm going to die from. I could get in a car accident tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about dying from my cancer until, you know, that time comes.
You live every day.
Yep.
Every Good day. For you. I loved your story. I'm
Thank you.
So happy for you. And Thanks. You guys, you can tell you guys are truly in love. I love it so much. Martin Truex Jr., congratulations to you on your success. Sherry, keep up the good work, girl. We need
Thanks.
You.
I know.
We need you. So please come back anytime you want and promote Thanks. Whatever you want. And I'm happy to tweet and do whatever the hell you want.
That's awesome.
I'm your girl.
Thank you.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
You got it, you guys. Don't forget, tomorrow we got Debbie Mazar. I want to thank a big thank you to Sarah Rue. Also to Mark Thompson for breaking it down to beat style. Drama, boy. Drama. See you tomorrow.
Great job.